That's the best one right there.
It's funny. My teammate said, "You act like you just got out of prison." I said, "Well, you know."
I would be mentally a lot sharper at this point had I eaten more cheese.
You know, obviously, kind of like the master and the, you know, Padawan.
It's never been about revenge. It's about a reckoning.
Hey, what up? It's Mercedes Lewis here, a.k.a. Big Dog. Big Dog, Big Dog, Big Dog. And you're listening to Poor Man's Package Podcast. Go, Pack, go.
Right, man, I'm so excited. Let's roll. Let's roll.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Package Podcast, and more Package Podcast in the state of our minds. I'm Spencer, joined, as always, with Kyle and Hank. Boys,
hello.
Hello, hello.
Merry Christmas to both of you. We
Merry belated, I guess.
Merry belated. We haven't been together. What has it been? 2 weeks now. Hank, have you been out on two of them in a row here?
Maybe. I can't remember.
Well,
you
were completely absent last week, but in COVID protocols this week, and despite the new CDC guidelines, he still falls within the protocol. Requirements, so that's why he is virtual.
Yeah, Hank is quarantining himself. Do you have symptoms, Hank?
Yeah, I've had like a runny nose, kind of a headache, stuff like that. It could just be a cold. It's just figured with everything going on, it was better safe than sorry.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Hank.
Especially because, the at home tests right now are kind of like the quick tests are kind of like sports cards, you know, they're going from the shelves as soon as they're put out.
Yeah, very true. Well, aside from that, the Packers played on Christmas. We'll get into that eventually, I guess. But how was Christmas for both of you guys? A rare Christmas viewing of a Packer game. How was the environment? How was Christmas? So on and so forth.
It was good. It was very, very relaxing, short lived. It was just a weekend getaway to my cabin, but was around family, and saw a Packers W, so there's not much to complain about.
Very cool. Hank?
Yes, well, I'll say that probably the best thing about Christmas was the Packers winning. I got in a huge fight with Uncle, actually, because I missed dinner for the third quarter.
Oh.
Yeah, and I pretty much just told him that, you know, there'd be, you know, no possible way on earth I would ever miss, you know, a quarter of Packer football to sit by him. So that was pretty much my response. I also did find out it was kind of a tricky situation, but my job at Menards was actually seasonal, so no longer doing that.
Okay, okay.
I guess I didn't read the fine print. But I was lucky enough to find a job with one of Aunt's friends from high school selling sheds on the highway.
Oh,
I'm now a shed salesman, and so I get commission on every shed I sell. Right now,
Yikes.
You know, not feeling well. I haven't sold many sheds, but I'll keep you updated on that. They're pre-built, solid quality wood.
All right. Awesome. Well, congrats on the new gig. And I didn't know there was such a market for shed sales. Well, clearly there isn't since you haven't made many sales.
I was going to say we might be getting ahead of ourselves. One, you missed the holiday rush, I'm sure, for getting sheds for Christmas. And now with the weather, it's like 0 degrees today here in the Twin Cities. I don't think you're going to have much luck.
Yeah, it might be tough. And like really like the, you know, I haven't had much like, I guess, shed experience outside of Jenga and Lincoln Logs.
Sales in general can be very, can be a big grind and very deflating, but it can also be very fulfilling and rewarding. So good luck, Hank.
Yeah, if it's a grind and deflating, it's just kind of par for the course at this point. I found that you have to be pretty good with people for sales. And so far I haven't really been great with people. So we'll see what happens. Just happy to have a job.
Yeah, very good. I'll talk about my Christmas. I was in California, as I alluded to before, and I shit you not, being in California, I saw more Packers stuff than any other football team. We
Is that right?
We had a connecting flight. Even in Denver, there was a bunch of people with Packers stuff. Landed in Santa Barbara, Packer stuff. There was a one yard in Simi Valley that was all like Packer inflatables and all the Packer flags and stuff outside.
I'm just picturing you at the gate. You know, people are getting off the plane, walking out, and you see like someone with a Packer gear, and you're just handing out koozies. Just like, here you go, sir. Here you go, ma'am. Here you go.
As if that would be a really good way to tell someone like I'm weird. Like, hey, I see you like this. Well, you should do this as well.
I make this podcast, and it's pretty good.
One other thing too. This is a seamless transition here. One kid that I talked to who was at my we went to a like fourth Christmas, my aunt's
four
sister's.
Christmases, Mr. Popular over here.
Mm-hmm. My aunt's sister's, and there was a kid there who was a Packer fan, and he was a Packer fan because he only plays as the Packers in Madden.
Nice.
That's how he got into it. He said just throw into Devontae and Rodgers is what got him into being the Packers, and sadly, of course, yesterday on... God, what day is it today? Wednesday. So it was Tuesday. John Madden passed away.
Oh,
I don't know if
you guys have rest in peace crazy. To the legend.
Yeah. What'd you say, Hank?
I don't know. This is really bad, but I just like assume John Madden died years ago. I don't know why, but like every time someone talked about him, it was like in the past tense, and like he was such a good guy. So I just assume that he's been dead for a while.
Yeah.
I kind of had to experience his death twice now.
I don't know. That might be a bit insensitive, but I somewhat agree because it is kind of odd how he, seriously, legend doesn't even begin to describe John Madden, like how he's shaped so many different generations for like so many different things too. Obviously a player, then a coach, then a broadcaster, and then obviously the video game. Like, it's insane. And it is kind of weird how I think his last broadcast was in 08.
Yep.
And then like that was kind of it. Like, he kind of faded away from the game of football. Like,
yeah.
Him himself, obviously, like his legacy will live on forever and ever and ever. But like, it was, you didn't really see him around or like even like special guest appearances on random broadcasts or anything. So yeah, that is kind of a good point, Hank.
He was a different dude too, because he did not like flying. One of the big reasons why he became a broadcaster too is to kind of travel less or just take the bus. And another thing too, I heard today, I forgot where I heard it on, but Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth even wanted to bring him in as like a guest once, and he was like, he didn't want to do it because he knew how much background information he had to do to like be part of the broadcast.
And that's
like,
how much he respected
he was
the
like,
craft.
He was like, I don't want to half-ass it. And once again,
you got to admire that.
With the game too, I think it was that Vikings player from Germany a couple of years ago who they drafted the sixth or seventh round. There's players how they literally got into the game through Madden. Like, he had
the game of football. Yeah.
He learned how to play wide receiver off of, he never really made it in the league. So maybe that does something too.
Put an NFL helmet on just because you played a video game when you were a kid is pretty wild to think about.
Yeah. So big RIP to John Madden. Rough year for Frank Caliendo with the John Madden passing away and John Gruden getting.
Well, two of his best impersonations. Oof.
Yeah, but we'll get right into the episode. We'll talk about the game, which was a game. Packers won 24-22. We'll have our pick six, the six plays that shaped the game. We'll talk about the offense and defense. We'll take news. We'll just have a couple things to breeze over. We could talk about the Pro Bowl. We could talk about COVID running rampant again. After that, we'll have Is Kyle an Idiot? And then we'll, of course, finish off with our preview of the Vikings game, which I'm sure will be very non-emotional. We'll have a very contained response talking about the
level-headed and reasoned response, yes.
But first, pick six.
Pick six! Pick six! Pick six!
Yeah! All right, first pick six play. Browns on a 2nd and 3 on the Cleveland 32. Baker Mayfield passed short to Chubb, who just kind of rumbles down for 40 yards, breaks a couple tackles, penalties enforced on Savage too, that low block, gets them onto the 14-yard line. Just a terrible, terrible start for the game for the defense. And, you know, we've had these games all year, last year, every year, where the defense starts off slow and you think maybe they'll get it together. And Points wise, they sure did, but Nick Chubb was just running rampant. This eventually led to a touchdown, making it 6-0. Missed the extra point, but this kind of set the tone of what the game was going to be on defense with Nick Chubb just running people over.
Yeah, kind of a precursor for the whole game. It didn't matter how Chubb got the ball in his hands, whether it was receiving or on a handoff. He was going to get probably more than 7 yards. And yeah, he ran wild. He is a load to take down. He's like a God. It's almost like he's like a hybrid of Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. But I mean, not nearly as explosive as Aaron Jones. If anything, I think he kind of looked like he was lacking some explosiveness, and yet he was still just rumbling everywhere because he's a tough guy to take down.
He's like what Saquon was supposed to be. You know, he's been kind of banged up.
And I'm still not out on Saquon.
I'm not out on him. I'm just saying, you know, this far in there. I mean, what isn't this like Saquon's third year? I know he's been banged up, but
it might be.
But Chubb's been, you know, kind of what we had thought.
Well, before the injury this year, he was like on pace for a billion yards. But then I think it was like a hip or a knee, and it's very evident that took some explosiveness from him. But he's still getting it done because he's such a tough guy to take down.
Yep. So yeah, after that, the Browns scored. Obviously, it's 6-0. Moving on, and this is kind of how the flow of the game went after this.
So yeah, the Packers got, I think, one first down on their first drive, and actually went for it on fourth in their own 30, which was super ballsy, and it was a good play call, and they got it, but then went 3-and-out on that new set of downs, punted it away. But then I think it was the very first play on the Browns' second possession, deep ball to, I actually think he was trying to throw it to Savage, because Savage looked like he was running the route, caught the ball. I mean, Peoples-Jones didn't even make an attempt to go and catch the ball. He was trying to tackle Savage before Savage had even caught the ball. Just a really bad throw, which then led to the record-breaking number 443 touchdown pass of Aaron Rodgers, Packers franchise record, to Alan Lazard. And Packers took the lead 7-6.
Yep, I called it, you know, ahead of time. I'm very proud of Alan for not doing his whole crown bit with that, Aaron Rodgers.
And like I said, that we know of. I'm sure there was a crowning at some point.
Maybe on the sideline. Hopefully on the sideline. But I'm glad that he left it to be more of just a football moment for everyone. And yeah, and that pick beforehand too. I mean, that was, you know, it's bad when Darnell Savage is able to hold on to the interception. Yeah. And it was fielding a punt.
Mm-hmm.
Hank?
Baker's bad, right? Baker's bad. Yeah. Like I don't know. Like, I've known that for a while, but my God, that was like some of the worst quarterback play I've seen. And I've watched some bad quarterbacks, I feel like, you know, especially in the NFC North for quite a while.
Yeah, that was coming out. I was kind of high on Baker. But yeah, after I don't think he's got the goods anymore. And watching the highlights back just now, and every time he dropped back to pass, I was like expecting, oh, is this one of his four interceptions? Like every time he threw the ball, it was in tight coverage. And yeah, I don't think he's got it. I think you're right, Hank. He's bad.
Yeah, it's pretty wild how like Baker like actually lost the war against Colin Cowherd too.
Yeah, God, I forgot about that.
Holy shit. Yeah, that has been a long running feud. And I think Colin might be onto something.
And I haven't watched Baker too much. I think I watched him a little bit his rookie year, but he's got like the weirdest, just no one looks like they're trying harder to play football than Baker Mayfield. He's just like, I don't know, his legs are just kicking out so much, and he's like the most flamboyant mechanical quarterback I've ever seen. And some of the balls, I mean, I know he's got that shoulder injury too. I think Troy talked about that.
Yeah.
That was kind of keeping him a little more tight with his mechanics, but my God, he is bad. It's once again a reminder of what, you know, quarterback play in the NFL could be if we, you know, didn't have a Hall of Fame quarterback for us, you know, once in the last 30 years.
We're very spoiled.
Yes. Moving on, after that, the next kind of duo of pick six plays with legitimately all these turnovers in the game, you kind of have to double them up. Third and 19 at Green Bay's 24, Baker Mayfield drops back, tries to shoot it short to Landry, and Shannon Sullivan hops up, makes the pick. Once again, it's like, this is where we started rolling, where it's like, okay, how is this going to be like a fun Christmas game where we just shit on, you know, a lesser team? Looked like that for a bit. On that drive there, it eventually led to an Adams touchdown. But then right after that, too, you know, to end out the half, Mayfield once again passes it out to the left, intercepted by Rasul Douglas. Weird. Returns it for like 11 yards, which once again, that led to a Davante Adams touchdown as well. Davante breaking the or passing Jordy Nelson for, you know, the touchdown record. Nice to see that. I actually had forgotten about the second play. He once again, and this was one of those reminders, especially in the first half, what a connection Adams and Aaron Rodgers have. There was a couple of them where it's like, it's literally indefensible. These guys could be playing in the dark and you're not going to be able to stop them. But
it was like, yeah, three or four straight where it was, yeah, they could have done that in the dark, where it was like, I think it was a 4 yard out, then a 6 yard hitch, and then another 3 yard out. Like it was, yeah, it was just boom, boom, boom. And then the touchdown, that, yeah, just amazing connection. And once again, Aaron Rodgers has put this stamp on number 17 as the best player he's ever played with.
Yeah, that was weird, because it's been it's funny how just at the beginning of this podcast we talked about it, because Davante had only been to one Pro Bowl, I think, when we started this 3 years ago, and he's, as quickly as you can, gone from like a Pro Bowler to an All Pro to the best, and you know, people are saying he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer now, mm-hmm. for sure. And like you're saying too, because before this, Rodgers always said Charles Woodson was the best player he ever played with, and now he's saying Davante Adams is. So that's,
yeah, because he,
quite the thing to say.
He had mentioned it earlier in a presser where, you know, he said Chuck was the best, and he kind of hinted that, you know, maybe Davante is. But then obviously the post game presser in this game, he like said it definitively. He was like, yeah, that's the best player I've ever played with. And in terms of Hall of Fame, I really like Rodgers's criteria for Hall of Fame, just as a starter, where you should be, I think he said you should be at the top of your position for at least 3 years.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great kind of baseline. Is someone a Hall of Famer? And if that's the case, then so far so good with Davante, because I think he's been the best receiver in the league for, this will be his third year now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that made the score, I don't think I said it there, 21-12, which I believe is what it was going into halftime. Mm-hmm. And that fell apart quick for the Browns at the end of the first half.
Razu!
Yeah. Moving on to the next pick six play. First and 10. You got this one, Kyle?
Sure.
Okay.
First and 10 with a minute left in the third on their own 32. The EQ got the handoff and lost 10 yards. And
Lazard misses his block. First down and 10. Pretty much kind of set the pace for what the second half offense was going to be for the most
very,
part.
Very sluggish. Yeah, especially as someone who had Packers team total over 27.5 points. Going into half, having 21 points, I was feeling fantastic. So yeah, the second half was a very slow burn and hard to watch, and the EQ kind of encapsulates all of that. That 10-yard loss just kept shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, whole lot of nothing, and that made the score 24-15 after that play. Moving on, the next pick six play, first and goal at the Green Bay 5. Another just what it turned into, where this defense is slowly, you know, getting worse and worse, it seems like, really since the Vikings game almost. But you know, right at the snap of the ball, defense isn't really lined up correctly. Devondre is pointing to guys, Rasul is pointing to guys, Savage is running over to the slot. Browns drop back, throw it to Anthony Schwartz, catches the touchdown, 5 yards, making it 24-21, where we are really starting to panic there. That's where I'm like, shit, are we going to have a ruined Christmas because of this football game? Because they were, once again, it was very similar to what it looked like the week before against Baltimore.
Made it 24-22, by the way.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Sorry. They went for two and did not get it.
No. It was 24-15, and then they scored to make it 24-22. It's okay, Spence. Hey, we're all coming off Christmas break.
Yeah, I've I'll blame it on jet lag. I still, I'm still
on West Coast time.
Yeah,
got
there
it.
We go. That's what it is.
And then the final pick six play, after a Packers three. I don't think they got a three and out. I think they got maybe one first down, and then a extremely uncharacteristic drop from Devontae on third down.
Yeah,
that would have iced the game.
Was sad. Yeah,
they had to punt the ball away. So then the Browns are driving, and then this was the big talk of the town on Christmas evening. A Peoples Jones runs sort of like a slant or a post, maybe like a post, and really just creates all of the contact. Rasul just simply exists and kind of takes his momentum with him. Baker again throws a bad ball, and Rasul picks it off and seals the game.
Yeah, there was.
What's your take on the call? No call.
I'm starting to turn to this person where I just get into arguments with people that I watch the game with. Kyle dropped his phone. God, that is a classic. We should have like a soundbite, a drop for when you drop your phone, because it happens like
once every 2 weeks.
You just have like a little counter corner of the screen, which you don't have in a podcast. But could just for us, you know?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But when I'm watching these games, it's like people, it's so often where it's like, oh, why didn't they, you could have thrown a flag on that. And I'm just like, always the less flags, the better. And once again, I mean, it was very reminiscent of one, the Alan Lazard no call in the NFC Championship game last year. Also, the Kevin King hold pass interference that they did call. I obviously thought it was a great no call. It's like you said, Peoples Jones ran into him. Rasul might have hung on to him, but I mean, at that
point, he doesn't just get to, like, Peoples Jones literally just ran into him. Like, Rasul doesn't. Yeah. Isn't entitled to where he's already standing. Like, what is he supposed to do? Move out of the way? Like, I don't. So dumb.
With penalties, we shouldn't be allowed to watch them in slow motion.
Right.
You know, we should have the best angle possible and then watch it at full speed, because that's the thing, too. You know, it's slow mo and then they slow it down even more when they get together. And then it's like, you know, any simpleton watching is like, oh my God, that's a flag.
You go frame by frame, pretty much every play is going to look like a flag, but go back and watch it just at normal broadcast speed, and it's just such a nothing, just such a not like a just simple contact that should never ever be called. And
yeah, just,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was just gonna say, like, Spencer, you brought up the NFC Championship game last year, like, that's immediately what I thought of too. And like, I think that this one was probably like less to call than like what happened to Lazard when he was like actually back from the ball on that right before the half.
Yeah. I almost wish like the ball just felt incomplete or something, because it was 3rd and 10. Like, 4th and 10 was, if you know, you call nothing and we don't pick it off, it's still a 4th and 10 that they're facing,
they get another chance. Yeah.
As Packer fans, we don't like either, but I still feel like it wasn't like the game was over after that, which a lot of people are, you know, because of that penalty. But either way,
I'd prefer the interception. I'll stick with the interception.
Yeah, Rasul Douglas is just ridiculous at this point.
I just hate how it just gives the haters and losers so much fuel to be like, oh, Packers and the refs, Packers and the refs. So then it's like they get that little baked in excuse to bitch about that. And then I just hate how, now that I think about it, like, in a more important game, like, something like that gets called, and then the haters and losers are going to be like, oh, well, they always get the calls, so, you know, this is karma. And it's just people just hate the Packers, and I do
like, because I think we've talked about it a little earlier on this year too, but even Rodgers getting a bit of this like villain role as well, where it's one, it's like, ah, the Packers,
for a multitude of reasons.
Yeah. You know, the Packers get all the calls, and then everyone hates Aaron Rodgers. It's like, okay, I kind of like this right now. You know, we're not the Patriots of the past, you know, with Brady and everything, but it's nice to have everyone kind of hate
big
us
target on our back,
one reason or another. And one other thing I'll say about this game with the picks and everything too, this was like a bizarro world NFC Championship game where like last year, you know, with Tampa, one, it was like the same type of weird gray filter almost with the field. It was a weird time for a Packers game, I guess. Not too much, but that, and it's like we got all the picks for the most part. The turnovers in the first half, I believe, in the NFC Championship game, most of them came in the second half. And on top of it, we actually, you know, use the turnovers to create points, which we did not do in the NFC Championship game. So I don't know, kind of reminded me of that where it's like, okay, we literally only had points aside from the field goal off of turnovers. But yeah, that was the football game. Moving on, we'll talk about the offense. Once again, the Packers won 24-22. There's a couple conversations going on after this game. One, we'll obviously get to with the defense, you know, kind of losing their luster of late. But the other is the offense and how, like you said, Kyle, very lethargic, and especially in the second half, just ultra, ultra conservative. We had, you know, the EQ run that we mentioned that kind of brought us back, and we weren't able to do anything after that. The next series was the Aaron Jones series where, you know, it's tough because you are playing, you know, Monday morning quarterback, because the first play of the drive, Aaron Jones runs it for 8 yards.
Yep.
You're like, okay, cool. We run it again for nothing. And it's like, oh, okay. And they run it again for -1 and we have to punt. And it's like, well, shit, you know, it wasn't the worst, you know, at the time deciding to do that. But then add that up with everything else and Davante Adams, the miss on third down late. It was, you know, I'm starting to get a little concerned about the offense, especially when we're just trying to put a game away.
Yeah, well, especially when they came out in the second half and put a really good drive together to start. I think they went and got three, and it's like, oh, okay, well, they, you know, they're still rolling. Then let's go score 40, because it looks like we're starting to really roll. And then, yeah, like they come out, go down and score three, and then literally that was it for the rest of the game. So a little, yeah, definitely a little concerning, because that Browns defense wasn't really much to be scared of, and their D-line was pretty underwhelming for the guys they have on that line. And, yeah. Just very weird to only score 24 points after scoring 24, when they scored their 24th point with, like, 12 minutes left in the third.
Yeah, because, like Rodgers mentioned, too, how Myles Garrett was essentially playing on one leg. Hank?
Mm.
Yeah, I don't want this to sound controversial. But I would like to stop running Aaron Jones. We're in short yardage situations and we're up. I propose to run AJ Dillon more in those situations.
That's something that we've obviously talked about in the past, and I think LaFleur mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, and we haven't had a good time to bring it up, but LaFleur really is, I mean, he is in charge of it, but he doesn't pick who the running back is, you know.
Wait, what?
For the most part, it is Ben Sermons, the running back coach, because he talked about in a press conference how he trusts Ben to put the guy in, and you know, this came out this week, too. I think Rodgers talked about it, but I'll read this all off here, too. Just how all of the different responsibilities on offense are divvied up with the coaching staff. So Luke Getsy, the quarterback coach, he's the third down guy.
Luke Getsy choose the quarterback then too?
yeah. Okay. That's a little easier decision to make. Steno and Butkus are the run game coordinators. Nathaniel Hackett is the gold zone, red zone guy. Jason Vrabel is the 2-minute guy. He's the wide receiver coach.
Any relation to Mike?
I don't know. Hank, I'm sure we'll look that up right now. Justin Outen and Ben Sermons are the short yardage and goal line people. So,
I mean, yeah, I guess it makes sense because, I mean, LaFleur's got enough on his plate already managing the game and calling the offense. But, I mean, I got to imagine he's obviously has some sort of influence where it's like, all right, hey, we want AJ this drive or Dillon, AJ Dillon this drive, or, oh, we want 33 this drive. But, yeah, I guess I didn't know that it was completely up to Sermons. Like, is it really just a drive-by-drive thing? Like, all right, 33.
He just goes with whoever he wants to put out there, and maybe that'll change in the playoffs. But, or, you know, obviously, Matt, I'm sure there's times where he says, hey, we need to get AJ Dillon in there for this. But I thought it was interesting when Matt brought that up.
That is really interesting.
So basically that third and one toss that went nowhere, I'm yelling at Ben there.
Yes.
Yes, for sure. Well, okay. I mean,
also Mike Vrabel doesn't know Jason Vrabel. I just found this out.
Oh, thanks.
A nice tweet.
Well, they don't even spell their last name the same, so makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, there you go. That was some really good detective work there.
Thanks, Hank.
But yeah.
You're welcome.
I was going to say, I don't, even if pitching it out, I think I'd rather have Aaron Jones get it if Alan Lazard finishes his block.
Pitching it out. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Moving on to quarterback, which we haven't even gotten to. Aaron Rodgers. I mean, what do you got to say? That's how I lead in every week with him. 24 completions, 34 attempts, 202 yards only, and the 3 touchdowns. No picks, wasn't sacked once. He did get stepped on a couple times. Mm. I was trying to get a picture of, on the bottom bar there, they had like all the little stats, and it was like, pressured 5 times, sack 0, stepped on twice.
Yeah, oh, that's right. That was funny. That was really funny.
Did really enjoy that. But yeah, record-setting game. He's been very, very deep this year. Once again, kind of like last year too, and reflective how today he even said, you know, he wouldn't rule out retiring after this year, which is a weird...
That was kind of a bombshell.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because he did say that last offseason, but...
I only read the quotes. I haven't actually heard it come from his lips, but I'm sure that'll change. I guess I don't know how it'll change it, but just seeing that written, it's like, whoa. That's, I mean, he's obviously thinking about it in some capacity then.
It's something I've thought about too, because just with the whole contract thing, and does he really want to just pack up, learn a whole new offense, go somewhere else, right, all that?
And now he said he doesn't want to be a bum that's kind of hanging on, which he definitely strikes me as the type who's very prideful about that sort of thing.
Yeah. And I mean, people I'm sure will love this, but even the COVID stuff too, like he probably just doesn't want to have to deal with the extra stuff going on as well. But yeah, great game from him. Didn't, would have liked some more attempts from him too. The offense was pretty, like we said, conservative in the second half. He did have that one throw to Josiah the Messiah, which was kind of reminiscent of, it's like if the Jamal Williams play against the Chiefs a couple of years ago felt incomplete. This was pretty similar to that, where Rodgers is like getting hit and he throws it to the corner of the end zone and don't even know how the ball made it that far.
Yeah, this throw you're referring to is escaping me because I'm trying to think that, there weren't, spoiled, entitled, very spoiled rotten, but there weren't that many, I guess, wow throws I could really think of, because compared to the previous 2 or 3 weeks where he was just like pumping out insane throws. I guess that one deep ball to Lazard, the one-handed catch was gorgeous. I just, God, the ball just floats in the air and it was right in there. And that was kind of the only real wow throw that I can remember right now.
Yeah, he did miss Lazard on the first drive too on third down, which was a little surprising to see. But for the most part, I mean, like we've been talking about, he's it's been crazy how it was 2 weeks ago, but now he's the odds-on favorite to be the MVP. I believe he's minus money, and everyone else is like plus 600 at this point. So
his to lose.
Yes. Hopefully, I don't want to think about what he'd have to, or what would have to happen to him or the team for it not to happen.
Let's not.
Moving on to the wide receivers, Davante Adams, 10 receptions, 114 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Also best in the world. Yep. God, that's so cool. It's like they got the best quarterback and the best wide receiver.
Why would you want to change
it? It's very cool.
Why would you want to move on from either of them?
Uh-huh.
I liked how on his first touchdown, I think it was the first one. Yeah, how he went up to the field goal post, put the ball between his legs, and then did not dunk it.
Ended up being such a cool picture. Oh, my God. They got a freeze frame of the ball between his legs. And it had me thinking. I was like, he would probably be the best basketball player in the world, too, if that's what he decided to pursue.
He did say that was his first love growing up, was playing basketball. It's very, like we talked about earlier with the pass interference, no call. It's one of those two where it's like, if you just take one image and try to base a whole story off of that, you could very well be wrong, because he did not finish the dunk. It did not happen.
How tall is he?
I think he's like 6'1", 6'2". I would say six one.
God, that's bad. I think
you're the fact checker.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I wanna say you're right about him being 6'1".
So yeah, which I guess
I want to say 6'3".
He is 6'1".
Which is actually 6'1". Pretty insanely undersized in the NBA. But
I was just gonna say that would be wild.
Because like Steph Curry
seems like such. Yeah, he seems like a physical presence on the field. Right. You know,
but then
you get like.
That's what makes NBA players that, and because Steph Curry is 6'3", and he looks like the smallest guy pretty much always out there.
Yeah, that is the biggest like eye fuck in the NBA's hell.
And there was another. This is actually tied to the Brown, so this will keep it relevant. But there was a picture of Steph Curry talking to Myles Garrett, and they're like eye level.
Oh,
and
yeah?
It's insane because yeah, when you look weird. At Myles Garrett out there, it's like, holy shit, he's a behemoth. Like, he looks like he just dwarfs everyone. But then you see a picture of him standing next to Steph Curry, and they're like the same size. And it's like, oh, NBA players are aliens.
Yes, and Davante Adams is an alien as well. This was his
yep.
either his 8th or 10th game of having 10 receptions, 100 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I can't remember.
Say that again a little slower.
10 receptions, 100 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
You said it's his 8th game doing that?
It's either his 8th or 10th time he's done. I think it's 8th.
Oh, my God.
In comparison, 2nd for the Packers with that is, I believe it's James Lofton. Or no, it's Sterling Sharp who did it twice.
That's the nearest one is someone who did it twice.
Yeah. I believe Bill Huber's the one who pulled that fact out. So yeah.
Like all three of those things individually are a incredible day for a wide receiver.
Yeah.
He's done all three of those things in the same game 8 times.
He's an alien.
He is insane.
He is very good at football.
Wow.
Moving on, the next wide receiver to talk about, Alan Lazard. Obviously the 2 receptions, 45 yards, the 1 touchdown. The one was beautiful.
Wow, that's a pretty cool 2-catch stat line. Holy shit. Yeah. A one-hander and a record breaker?
Just in the first quarter, the first half for sure. But yeah, the one that just dropped into his hands and then the record breaker, which I did not think was going to be a touchdown, but he wiggled around and just got it right inside the pylon.
Another cool tidbit with that. Rodgers mentioned he's like that play was one of the very first plays he learned all the way back in his first days in Green Bay. I thought that was
yeah, cool. I thought that was cool too. But once again, you'll love this, Kyle. It's one of those where I'm like, come on.
Yeah, you're so you.
I suck, but it's like, do we have to be that reminiscent this year?
Yes, yes. It's his 443rd touchdown pass, of course.
Yeah, no, obviously I
God, you're
too.
So.
I know, I suck. Lazard also had the nice little pitch. He's kind of been the jet sweep guy this year for whatever reason. He is more built like a running back.
Like, at what point are the defenses going to start keying on that? Because I think the Packers keep doing it because the defenses don't expect Lazard of all receivers to get that. So, at some point it'll stop working, but I just keep doing it until it doesn't.
Yes.
Until it does.
Yeah, that works. Mm-hmm. Finishing off the receivers, EQ and Juwan Winfrey. So, I'll ask you, Kyle, what percent of the snaps do you think EQ played in this game?
I'd rather give you a number.
Yeah, what percent of the snaps? I don't know how many snaps.
Okay, I guess I'll give you a percent. I'll say 35.
Guess what percent of the snaps Juwan Winfrey played?
15.
So Winfrey played 14, very close. EQ played 81% of the snaps.
Oh, wow.
On Saturday. Which,
81, wow.
Which was very surprising because you didn't see him too much. You know, obviously
a lot
of
three receiver sets then.
Yeah, so he was caught in the backfield on the one. Didn't have any receptions, but I just thought that was weird because I almost remember seeing Winfrey more than EQ, and EQ was out there pretty much the majority of the time, so I just thought that
was
really
interesting. But no, I think EQ has definitely earned snaps over Winfrey.
For sure. I thought he would have been more productive in those snaps. We didn't do much in the second half, and we were productive with Adams and Lazard and everyone, but just a little surprising to see that and not have any real statistics with it.
You should get a snap counter meme, like, for, like, after the games, and just have, like, the Thanos.
Oh, the snap. Okay.
Yeah, like a snap counter.
Okay.
Yeah. Thinking outside the box.
I did want to make a meme thing too for speaking of snap counter, but once again, don't want to jinx it. Knock on wood.
Uh oh.
But we haven't had a field goal operation mistake since Brett Goode's been on the podcast.
Wow.
We've been perfect.
Well, good friend.
We'll have to see what happens this week because Bojo is on the COVID list. Apparently, he might be able to come back. So
no, I like Boho. I'm not crazy about the Bojo.
Yeah.
It sounds too much like Mojo. Yeah.
But we'll see what happens going forward. But so the last 3 weeks, it's been absolutely excellent. Moving on to the running backs, Aaron Jones, 12 carries, 66 yards, 5.5 average. A.J. Dillon, 9 carries, 41 yards, 4.6 average. Aaron Jones also had 5 receptions for 21 yards. A.J. Dillon did have 3 for 15. But one of those games. I mean, Aaron Jones was good, but once again, every time I watch him play, I'm like, God, no one. Football doesn't look more painful than when Aaron Jones is running the ball, because every time it's like he gets crumpled up, and
yeah.
I don't know how he's been able to stay healthy, especially this year when everyone else has gone down. I mean, he did have that one injury where he was out a week, but it's pretty remarkable that this dude's able to come back every single week.
Yeah, love him. He had some really solid runs and really some really gritty runs too, where there was a couple, I think, third downs where he caught it well behind the sticks and just kind of grinded for either fourth and short or first down. So good game from Jones, and I'm really loving
back and forth.
The distribution of touches between him and Dylan, because I just think that is gonna, like, they're, I just feel like both right now could easily manage a full workload the rest of the year, but now it's like both of them are as equally as fresh, and I think that's going to be huge for the next, you know, 6 weeks.
I am curious to see what happens, especially in the playoffs, and it's so, you know, talked about a lot, but even coming off that injury that we talked about too, like, Aaron Jones has been getting the ball more than I would have expected, and I do wonder if we are saving AJ Dillon for more of a role come playoff time.
Well, that's it's weird you say that, because in October maybe or early November, I feel like we were having this exact conversation reverse. Like, it was like, Dylan's getting all these touches, why is Jones, like, we just paid him, why is he not getting that much? And now it's kind of reversed, and I think Jones is 100% at this point.
I do too. I mean, he's looking good, and he's been very productive these last couple of weeks. I said last week too, the Baltimore game, like, he was extremely productive every time he got the ball. But it's once again just dumb football fan brain, but I'm like, come playoff time, I would like, you know, I don't know, 65, like a 70-30 split first half for Aaron Jones.
Oh, okay.
And then in the second half, you know,
30-70.
Flip it around for AJ Dillon, because that seems
like that.
You know, have the defense think, oh, you're going to have to deal with the quick guy, and then after that, you're getting pounded
just
into
bruise
the ground
him up
for the rest.
Speaking of, real quick though, speaking of that Ravens game, after seeing what Joey Burrow did, that makes the game plan for the Ravens game just extremely head scratching.
It was the one time all year. The rest of the time it's been like, okay, run the ball. And that game was like, why aren't
just throw the ball? Yeah.
Yes. Hank?
Oh, I was just gonna say that even when I brought up earlier about, like, Aaron Jones and the short yarded situations, like, I love having Aaron Jones out there. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it's so, like, we're going to get this drive, we're going to get all Aaron Jones, or we're going to get all AJ Dillon. And there just seems to be, like, no versatility, like, switching those guys out in a way.
Yeah.
That, like, it just seems kind of rigid and stiff sometimes.
Hmm. Well, I do, and I've wondered that more so with the defense as well, because, and this is once again a stupid fan brain thing, but it's like, is it worth it, especially with, like, TJ Slayton and stuff, to switch these guys out when they have to run on and off the field? I know they're professional athletes, but aren't you going to get a little tired from having to do that every other play or every few plays? So I don't
know. And I mean, like, I'm not saying every other play, but I'm like, I mean, it's like whole drives.
Yeah.
Between the 20s, use 33. Inside the 20s, use 28.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against that.
Or just, I don't know what the answer for that is, but, like, it seems, like, so predictable, you know?
Yes.
Like, it really does. You see, like, you see one guy come in at the beginning of the drive, and you're like, okay, well, this guy is going to go until, you know, the 20-yard line, 10-yard line, and then they're going to switch to the other guy, you know?
Going into this year, too, not exactly that, but I am surprised we haven't seen them both on the field at the same time. I think that's something
we were really excited for. That was one of the coolest packages last year.
Yeah, there's been quite a few. Not quite a few. There's been a few two-back sets, and every time I feel like it is very exciting.
I know, and I think we were telling ourselves this last year too, like, maybe we'll see it more in the playoffs, and then we didn't really see it too much.
Remember that? I think it was like a 4th-and-1. And it was a two-back set. And I think Dylan lined up as the fullback.
Yeah.
He got like a full.
Yeah.
That was such a fun play.
If nothing else, it's like, even if we get stuffed, I will, and a lot of people won't be, they'll be like, oh, that was a bad play, even though if it looks cool and if it would have worked, they'd be like, oh, that was a good play. But if you line up like that and we lose a yard, I'd be like, well, you know,
I'm fine with it.
I'm upset, but I am fine with
it. Right, because if they run it again, they probably get it.
Exactly. Moving on to the tight ends. Really nothing to talk about at all here. Decided DeGuara, I don't know, his production's kind of plateaued a bit. He just had the 2 receptions for 5 yards. And Big Dog with the most Richard Rodgers type of stat line ever. I think they were both outs, too. 2 receptions, 2 yards total. Didn't break any tackles. So
the Richard Rodgers, yep.
That was a little bit of a letdown. And Tyler Davis, I believe, is on the COVID list now, but he was
just got put on today. Yeah.
So we'll see. Moving on, the offensive line, once again, not too much to talk about. They did not allow a sack. I can't remember if it was Newman or Yosh.
Yosh.
Yeah, it's Yosh.
God.
It just stuck
you
in my brain.
You get it right.
I know. I even posted that clip where Jason Wilde asked him point blank, like, how do you say your name? Because even Rodgers was saying it wrong. And it is Yosh Nyman. They don't have a J in Dutch, I believe is what he
said. I think
that's
what
he
said,
from.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, once again, it's we shouldn't have as many great offensive linemen as we have this year. We'll see what happens later on, you know, with David Bakhtiari and everything. But no sacks. Rodgers got stepped on just the 2 times, but you really can't ask for anything else. We'll see what happens with Josh Myers, too. It sounds like he's still far away. I don't know if we're going to see him the rest of the year, but you can't really complain with how the team has looked so far. And even the Browns have a pretty solid front 7 for the most part, too, and they held up well.
And it sounds like there was an encouraging Billy Turner update today.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur, and Matt LaFleur has gotten great at talking about injuries too. All the beat reporters get pissed off about it, and I remember last year too, like Tom Silverstein stepping up on his soapbox saying, you know, especially during COVID, like we need to tell the fans as much as possible. And it's like, you know, mostly I do agree with you on that, but I don't need to know about the injuries, because if I know about them, the opposing team for the week definitely knows about them. So I'm fine with learning a couple days late if the game plan is going to be that much tougher for the opponents. But yeah,
you're such a good fan.
Thank
Spence.
You. That's all I want to hear from you, Kyle. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Billy Turner, he said, it doesn't sound like he'll practice this week. Maybe he will, but he's saying he's starting to get close. So,
but to even get that update, it's like, oh, okay. So
yeah,
we will probably see him again.
If I had to guess, I would say Billy will be back for the Lions game, and I really don't know about Bakhtiari, Jair, or Zadarius when it comes to the injuries, but we'll see. But with that, we will have a quick break. Wow, that was a great ad for a product or a service or
that we support,
or maybe a TV show. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, on to the defense, which was not very good. Well, I guess they were good. It's very odd to have such a negative mindset with this defense, especially after this game when they had 5 sacks and 4 picks in a game.
Yeah, Baker really did us a bunch of favors. But man, the run defense is just... I really thought, okay, Kenny's back. Like, they're going to be more stout. Yeah. And yeah, that just obviously wasn't the case.
Yeah, and I was looking, too. I was wondering if maybe they, like, slow brought him back. Kenny did play, like, 80% of the snaps, and TJ Slayton only played 35. But, God, just looking out there, too, it's like every time I look at TJ, he was getting pushed over
walloped.
Or out of the play. And it is becoming a bit of a concern here. But a lot of people are really, really down on the defense. I'm still down on it. But, Kyle, how are you feeling overall about this defense right now?
I mean, it's a passing league, and the secondary is still legit. And Jair, sounds like he will be back. He was activated today. I think you already mentioned that. I mean, they had to activate him if they wanted any chance of him playing. But with Campbell being the anchor on the second level and the secondary being as good as it, I'm definitely not super discouraged yet, but... gotta figure out the run defense.
Yeah, it is concerning. I guess we'll start there. Let's start at outside linebacker. I'm not worried about the group overall, but especially these last couple weeks, I just don't know what in the hell is going on with setting the edge. Gary did finish with 2 sacks, I believe. I don't know if Preston made it home. But
I just think the lack of depth is starting to really show up. The Merciless would have been nice to have here. Obviously, Zadarius. I think that's starting to show.
And I'll bring this up. I brought it up a couple weeks ago, too, with Preston Smith with his contract with the incentives. I'll just go over this very quickly here. The Packers now having two more regular seasons left, regular season games left. If he gets one more sack, or sorry, if he gets two more sacks, he'll get up to 10, which will be a $750,000 bonus.
That's Preston?
That's Preston. Hell, and yeah. If he could get four more sacks total, it would be another $750,000. So it's one of those things where Preston. I hope these incentives stop at the regular season, because it's like I understand kind of chasing that, and I don't think he's going out of his way to, you know, break containment to try to, you know, get to the quarterback. But I hope that's not something that'll be in the back of his mind come playoffs, because it is really hurting up front right now for the team in the run game.
Oh God, you're the best fan and you're the worst fan. That's really amazing what you've accomplished.
I've got to put it out there. You know, it's just something we always have to think about. Moving on to inside linebackers, Devondre Campbell. He had 12 tackles. He did have a deflected pass in the game too, but he did give up 4 completions in coverage, but none of them gained more than 8 yards. Mm. I don't know. He did grade out 4th highest, according to Pro Football Focus, too, but I do wonder if his tackles now aren't as close to the line of scrimmage as they seem to be early on this season, so we'll see that going forward. And Chris Barnes had a really bad game. He allowed a team-high 6 catches for 77 yards. Not very good in the run game either.
We're really reading off coverage stats for inside backers now? I think this is a first for the pod.
When we haven't... You know, there wasn't so much given up, but, you know, you're seeing that 77 yards for one guy giving up to, you know, right in the middle of the field. That's kind of not something you want to see on the defense.
Has anyone brought up the idea that maybe our defense just doesn't like to be chilly?
Ooh.
Yeah, I started thinking about that too, because as it's gotten colder, they have gotten gotten worse, and it's like
a little more stiff.
Yeah, maybe we want to pull back on the reins of, you know, how much of an advantage we'd have at Lambeau this year. But
it's an interesting theory that will be put to the test this Sunday, as reports of like 0 degrees at kickoff.
Yes, so we'll see. Is it bad that I hope it's the Bucks if we get to the NFC Championship? Because I really think Tom Brady's going to just throw 3 picks again.
Yes.
I really think he's a really bad player in the winter.
Yes.
I would like that redemption.
Me too.
Yes. Yes. Hopefully. Well, there's a lot of different redemption arcs we could see in the playoffs. But anyways, the secondary, once again, you got to talk about Rasul Douglas. Just stupid at this point. It is one of the weirdest storylines I can remember being a Packer fan. You know, we've talked a lot.
God, I love him so much.
I think the Pro Bowl voting, or, you know, who made it, came out after we recorded last week. But Rasul is a Pro Bowl alternate. And we talked a lot about how long it took guys like David Bakhtiari to make the Pro Bowl, and Davante Adams, too. For Rasul Douglas, who was signed in October, to come in and get voted into the Pro Bowl is absolutely fucking unbelievable.
Wait, he made the Pro Bowl?
Is
that like an alternate?
As an alternate, which still...
It's actually insane.
Absolutely crazy. I didn't know how to make this a pick 6 question, so I'll just say it. Amari Rodgers has 4 receptions on the year. Rasul Douglas has 5 receptions on the year. And EQ, who played 81% of the snaps, has 6 receptions on the year. So it just lets you know like how stupid his playmaking ability is, and somehow coming up with these picks pretty much every week point. It's, you know, it's more surprising now when he doesn't have a pick.
I liked the quote how he, like, I think someone just asked him simply, like, you know, how are you even making these plays? Like, are you jumping it so well? And he's like, I just talk to my safeties and I tell them, hey, I think on this play, like, I'm going to jump it. So make sure you got the post, or make sure you got my back. And I hope they have my back, because if they don't, then we're screwed. But he just keeps making those fucking plays.
You know what that kind of reminds me of?
What's that?
Spill it, Pickett.
Spill it? Oh, spill
it. Going, hey, I'm going to do this. You got to do this. Okay. And shit happening. Secondary overall, pretty good. Stokes is held up all right. Oh, you said the bad word.
Bleep it. We're at...
like around 55 minutes.
Something like that.
Okay, we'll try to find it.
Shit.
But yeah, secondary overall has been pretty good. Savage, miscommunication in the end zone. Amos has been pretty solid. Moving on, defensive line. Kenny was back. I guess we're going to have to hope for January out of Kenny this year.
I think Kenny himself said that he had 3 days of really bad symptoms.
Yes, and that's true.
And then he felt so. Yeah, let's just hopefully chalk it up to that, where it's just general fatigue and getting his legs back under him. But
Hank,
what about January?
Ooh, that could be just the defense as a whole.
Yeah, I would hope for that, and that's even better with Joe Barry too. Oh man, that's too many words. January scary.
Actually, no, January. That's for Joe. Oh,
okay. Yeah, there's a lot of different. Yeah. We'll see what it turns out.
We'll cross that bridge when we get there in 3 days.
January.
Oh, ooh. We could see that too. Yeah,
put cheese on everything.
God. But yeah, not too much else to talk about the defense. We'll see if they come crashing down. It hasn't bit us yet, but I don't know. It went, and I keep saying this, but we're so blessed where it. I saw Amos tweet about it. I forgot what he actually said, but you know, so many fans complaining about having to suffer through the end of games because it's so close. Yet we still always eke out a victory.
Yeah, let's not like. There have been some weird, weird games across the league as a whole this year. Like, Dallas got absolutely shit-pumped by the Denver Broncos at home.
Yeah.
And, like, that's just the only... Well, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers got... Oh, well, the Green Bay Packers got shit-pumped by the Saints. The Bucs got shit... Shut out at home against the Saints. Like, to just win at all is a blessing, and... The older I get, the more appreciative I am of that. And as frustrating as it is to score 21 points in the first half and then only score 3 in the second and not, you know, blow that team out, as frustrating as that is, a win is a win.
Absolutely. You know what? I really can't add anything else to that. Hank, do you have anything else? You got any more thoughts on this game?
Not really. I don't know. It was just kind of like, just very happy that we won. Mm-hmm. It feels like, you know, like this game, I think I've been looking forward to this Minnesota game for a long time.
Ooh.
And so I've been kind of waiting for that. Not like past each game, but I've been waiting for it. It felt like kind of like the last like real big game before the playoffs.
Okay.
Yeah.
I forgot you said that too. Even the Bears game. A couple of weeks ago, yeah. You were like, yeah, this just feels like a filler. And now we're past the filling and we're on to
regular
the last two divisional games.
Yeah, it's more like the penultimate episode, I guess. But
I just got to say quick, I really hate that word, penultimate.
Yeah.
Why can't we just say second to last? Why does it have to be penultimate? I hate that word.
Yeah, Hank, Hank, do you know why? What does the it's been a while since English class.
Mm-hmm.
What does pen mean? We don't know.
I write with sometimes. Well, I'm usually told write with a pencil because you're gonna make a mistake.
Okay, well there we go. That has to be the meaning of it. With that, we will have take news.
Football time. Take news.
All right. Once again, we're actually not going to do take news. We're going to talk about the Vikings
pump
more than enough.
Twice in 3 weeks.
If anyone out there has ever seen me play quarterback, you know I'm the king of pump faking.
Most effective fake in football.
I do like 5 of them for no reason. Then the receivers are like, what are you doing?
you fake your own receiver. Yeah.
But with that, we will just dive into, is Kyle an idiot?
Oh,
I'm not an idiot.
Okay. You sure?
Yes.
All right. Is Kyle an idiot for the week? Kyle, perfect. Let's see. Last week.
I went. Oh, it was a dreadful week. I think it was.
I don't think you went 0-3. I think you went
2.
Yeah, you went 1-2. So you are 25-17-1. Whatever. You're gonna be good for the year. I don't know if anyone's really keeping track at home. But Kyle, we have more questions for you this week. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. First. Kyle, what legendary former Packers wide receiver signed with the Cleveland Browns in 2018?
God, I want to say Janis, but it feels like he's been out of the league forever. Legendary. Yeah, it's got to be Jeff Janis.
It's Jeff Janis. Yeah, that was one of the beginnings when John Dorsey was hired to be their GM too, and Elliot Wolf went over there. It was kind of, you know, Green Bay East. They had a couple other guys. Tremont might have been there. I know the old special teams coach was there, or secondary coach was there. God, I can't remember his name right now.
A couple other defenders, I think, too.
Yeah, a couple other guys. But yes, Kyle, it was Jeff Janis, the legend.
Hot start.
Big shout out to Jeff. I think he announced over at the weekend on Instagram that they're having a third child. So good for
Jeff. Congrats,
and whatever
Jeff.
His wife's name is. Okay.
Three kids. Wow. That's at least
three.
It's at least
It's at least three. I wonder if they're gonna go to have a fourth kid because it is a tire company and every car has four tires.
Wow.
I hate myself for even saying that just now. Okay, second I almost said pick six play. Second is kind of an idiot question. Kyle, we were playing the Vikings this week. You did not forget that. Kyle, who scored the first touchdown at US Bank Stadium?
I have three names, and I think it's either 89, 87, or 17. Because, God, they didn't – I was, once again, there for the first win in U.S. Bank.
That's right.
And I just – God, so they – I think they lost two straight before getting that win.
That first game, the score was 14-17.
Yeah.
Packers lost.
Yeah. I'm going to go –
Sam Bradford.
I'm going to go with Jordy.
Very good.
Yes.
Yes. First touchdown at U.S. Bank was by a Packer, Jordy Nelson. However, the Vikings did win the game, unfortunately.
Yeah, that was Sam Bradford, right? Or you just said that, didn't you?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
They traded a first-round pick for him.
God, you forget about that. That was such – I'm such a hipster, loser, weirdo. I got out of, like, this record store that had, like, this big record store day, and I look at my phone. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Bradford for a first? It was, like, all that conditional shit, too, and – once again, something that made Viking fans really happy, and you know they thought they were gonna.
And then I think what's great too is that pick that they traded away for Bradford. The Eagles ended up taking, I think it was Barnett or Burnett or whatever. I think it was the guy who forced the fumble in the Super Bowl win. And I'm just like, oh, that's just a nice little crispy dash of salt on the wound.
That run that the Eagles had too, that's the most I've ever rooted for a team that wasn't the Packers.
Yeah,
like, in
that was incredible. That was one of the probably, I mean, obviously outside the Pack Steelers, that was like the most entertaining Super Bowl ever.
Far and away for me, the most entertaining Super Bowl I've watched. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean,
because like the whole time you're watching it too, like Patriots answer, then the Eagles go up, and it's like you're watching it and you're like, it's so obvious how this ends. And it's like, you're just like waiting, like, okay, come on, get it over with Tom, get it over with Bill, get it over with Zebras. Yeah. Like, come on, let's just move it along. Like, great story for the Eagles, but we all know how this ends. And it just didn't end that way. It was so cool.
Yeah. Brady literally got the ball back with like a minute 30 left.
And it was like, oh, here we go.
But it did not happen. Thank God. All right, Kyle, 2-0 for the week.
Right.
Last question here, Kyle. Who had the nullified interception in Kirk Cousins' first start at Lambeau as a Minnesota Viking?
Oh, this is a good question because I was at that game too.
And I was wrong. I thought it was one guy, but the actual answer, I would have gotten this one wrong.
I think he was number 29. Did I get the number right?
No.
Okay, shit.
Because that would have been like Breland, I think.
It
that
wasn't.
You're thinking of.
No, it wasn't. I don't think it was Gunter.
No,
I actually wait.
This was when Clay Matthews obviously hit him
at the it was the tie. That was
the beginning of the end for Mike McCarthy.
That was so bad. Like that. Oh my God, I can't believe they tied that game.
Yeah.
I think it actually might have been who was the guy that like completely whiffed, and this was on a different play where he just looked at the defender. He didn't even look at the ball.
I could not tell you.
Okay. So my guess, I think it was a rookie Darnell Savage.
It was Jair Alexander.
Damn it.
Yeah. I picked it off. I think
he wasn't even in my. I thought it was either like I thought it was either Savage or Gunter or God, who was that safety that was just absolutely dreadful?
Oh God. Mississippi State.
Pipkins? No.
No, he was a corner. Pipkins.
Kentrell Bryce?
Yes, Kentrell Bryce. That was 29.
Yeah. Yeah, that's who I had in my mind.
Okay, well.
Damn, it was Ja, wasn't it? Was it?
Yeah, it was. I was surprised. I thought it was Kevin King for whatever. No. I was like, some type of retribution.
Kentrell Bryce. Oof.
But all right, Kyle, very good. 2-1 for the week. One. Okay. I assume you don't have a stump spenny.
No, I was just at, well, I kind of do. It's not really. It's just a easy.
Ooh, kinda.
Because I was just thinking about my good friend, one of my favorite Packers, Eddie Lacy.
Okay.
And how he was number 27. I was just wondering if you know who the current number 27 is on the team.
Patrick Taylor.
Okay. Yep.
Very good. And another first punt return touchdown I think I've ever seen a Packer return was Will Blackman, who also wore number 27.
Oh, did he?
Yep. There you go.
I thought maybe he was 29.
27 is like the most random ass blah number.
No, that I love 27 forever now.
It's like
Eddie Lacy.
A goofy
that
number.
That fit Eddie Lacy so perfectly.
Exactly. Yes. Oh. I'll agree with that. But it's like usually it.
But it doesn't fit Taylor. It does not fit Patrick Taylor at
all. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like it shouldn't work, but a lot of the times it does work. Even with like Will Blackman, it worked pretty well too. Because I'm trying to like envision a corner wearing it right now on the team. And I'm like.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no. Yeah. Ooh, that. Ooh,
exactly.
Worst corner numbers.
Yeah, just gross. With that,
literally any other 20 would work. 28 as a corner, not very good.
22, I always think of Pat Lee, and he was bad. Ooh. I've talked about him enough this year with the kickoff return and all that. But moving on to something more important, the Vikings preview.
Ooh.
Sunday night football kickoff at 7:20. Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. I feel like this is like the most Sunday night games we've had in a year, at least. You know, with,
what? At least a third. San Fran, Chicago, and then I think that's
it. Yeah, and then didn't move it out of the primetime slot. Packers are a 6.5-point favorite when I looked this up last night. 47.5 over under. Vikings are now 7-8 after losing last week to the Rams. Yeah, that's right. They were, and like we said, you know, they were 5-5 after beating us and kind of looking up. And since then, I think they kind of spent all their emotions on that win. Their big SB game, if you know what I'm saying But yeah, God, I don't know. I'm still a little bit worried about this team. But the Vikings on offense, they're 9th in passing yards, 12th in rushing yards, and 12th in points. 3rd in turnovers, as in they're not turning the ball over much. They had Justin Jefferson make the Pro Bowl along with Dalvin Cook. Justin Jefferson has like 1,400 yards this year. He just broke Odell's record for the most.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yards in your first 2 years in the league.
Mm-hmm. He's really good, man.
Well, he's really good, but you know he'll. I'm gonna derail. We didn't have take news. T. Higgins, I'm sure you saw what he did.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one guy who I'm like, you know, I don't want to get into it, but if we didn't use that first on a quarterback, T. Higgins was the guy that I probably would have wanted to go after. He's pretty good at football. But yeah, Vikings offense, whatever, Kirk Cousins. Defense, yeah, 23rd in points, 27th in passing yards, 28th in rushing yards, and 29th in yards overall. So,
jeez.
Very much not a Mike Zimmer team at all.
I know they've been banged up and what have you, but
they got a little banged up here.
I mean, if anything, I always felt like Zimmer was better when his personnel was down.
Yeah, for the most part, too. It's like any corner that you'd have come in would produce, but the past couple of years, it has not been the case. They put Adam Thielen on IR today, so he's out and he had surgery today, too, or this week, so he's not going to be back. They do have the tight end Conklin. Is it just Conklin?
No, it's Conklin.
Conklin. Yeah, I feel like a caveman. Like the we had that old tackle Conklin from Iowa, who was Conklin, I think, or Conk. Either way, Conklin. Overall, I don't know. Their offensive line still isn't good.
I think you already mentioned Adam Thielen. Season-ending surgery today.
Yep, gone forever. Justin Jefferson, really good. Dalvin Cook
just got activated off the reserve.
Yep, so he'll be playing on Sunday. And I don't know if you remember, but that was probably the worst performance we had to see as a Packer fan last year was Dalvin Cook
in Lambeau Field. Yeah,
ran all over us.
That was hard to watch.
Yeah, their defense is banged up. They still get some sacks, but they don't have Danielle Hunter and Patrick Peterson is older than dirt now. They cut cut Breland a week ago for like getting
there was a big altercation. Like like Rick Spielman, the GM, was involved. Like, I think he caught a ricochet shot, and
yeah,
I mean, yeah, he must have just said some shit that you cannot walk back.
Yeah. Which you love seeing. Once again, like I said, I've been saying it all year. He's been the best secret agent Packer. Yeah. Had the 1 year with us, and he is just slowly, he was terrible performing, and just the team aspect now with that just brought the Vikings down. One other thing I'll say, surprised I haven't said it yet this year. I might have told you guys before when we weren't recording, but my girlfriend's house is in Eagan, and in the winter when the leaves are gone, when you look in the backyard at night, you could see the purple glow of the hotel of the Vikings training facility there. So it's,
that sounds awful.
Yeah, it's not good. And this summer they had, she had gophers in her backyard too. So it's like the ultimate Minnesota backyard of gophers and Vikings.
That was a real humble brag that you have a girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. Just slid that in there real quick. Yeah,
super cool. It is very weird, too, because it's like I got a podcast and then a girlfriend, which is not the way it should work at all. But yes, I thought of that, too. Like Everson Griffin earlier this year when he was playing, he got in a car crash because he hit a deer on his way to the training facility. And I'm like, I know where you were driving. I drive on that road just about every day, too. But the Vikings, we've talked about them a lot. We really hate them. We do not like their fans. Mm-hmm. Didn't see any Viking stuff when I was on my travels over the past week. Kyle, how are you feeling going into this game? What are you thinking?
I love that the Packers still are very hungry, and you know, they very clearly need and want the one seed, so they'll still be playing for that. You know, I would like to obviously play the Vikes at full strength, but I mean, I can't, like, it's kind of nice Thielen will be out because he's usually really good against the Packers, and I think that can just give them more time and focus on Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Cook being back, he is really good too, but I do think, according to the group chat I'm in with a bunch of the loser Viking fans, their O-line is in pretty rough shape still.
And
I think they're rotating guys around, or they're complaining about a guy who should be playing. I don't know. They all suck. So like, it's just nothing to me, but it's not, it sounds like the O-line is in turmoil. But
like Brian O'Neill, and that's it on that line.
But it all just comes down to Kirk Cousins in 0-degree weather. And I simply cannot wait for that.
That's what I keep thinking back to too. Cause I'm like, there's no way he can play well in the, you know, when it's going to be 0 degrees.
And
like,
there'll actually be fans there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there will actually be fans. Another thing too, I forgot about that. Garrett Bradbury, great shout out too.
You mean Kenny Clark's son?
Yeah, Kenny Clark's son, and they took Bradbury when Elton Jenkins was on the board. So
big hell shout yes.
out. Hey, you know,
that's a great pull.
You know, it wasn't a good draft pick because obviously they missed out on Elton Jenkins, but at least it helped with their draft grades for that month, you know, because every Spielman draft is
top
just,
5 draft grade.
He just goes on Bleacher Report and like finds what the mocks are, and he's like, okay, and then he bases everything off that. So that's like that. Well, God, we could talk about that now too. The one Viking fan who I used to work with, he was like defending the Gladney.
Oh, that was all time. You gotta read it. We can't screw this up. It's all time.
Yeah, it's a guy I used to work with, big Viking fan. He has a Viking podcast himself, and it was one of the most egregious. He's had a lot of really bad takes in his day, but this was far and away the worst one. Where are we here? Okay. So everyone's talking about, you know, Viking fans are starting to eat themselves and hate each other. They want Spielman out. They want Zimmer out. This one guy tweeted, Minnesota Vikings drafted Jeff Gladney over Antonio Winfield Jr. and Trayvon Diggs. That alone is going to get Spielman canned once the season is over. I think it's a pretty dumb statement to say because that is such an egregious, like one draft pick is enough to move on from a GM. Whatever, fan speak. But the guy I used to work with quoted that and said, this would track if Gladney was ousted from the league due to performance. He wasn't. Your take is a bad one. Gladney is out of the league because I think of a domestic abuse type thing. So they cut him. Great on the Vikings on doing that. But it is just hilarious to argue that it wasn't a bad pick. It's like, well, character concerns are a thing.
I mean that's one of the, like, the hot topics in the draft industrial complex, you know, pre-draft, is like, oh, worried about the off the field concerns with this guy. And it's like, so is Spielman not supposed to be held responsible for that pick then, just because?
Yes, it's no one's responsibility.
Like, what? Oh my god, it was. Oh, that's just like to, and it. I that's why I kind of love. Well, I mean, I don't like that he's out of the league, just because of it. It was a shitty thing that he did to get him out of the league.
Yeah.
But like, I like that. That's the same draft as Jordan Love, because then it's like, regardless of what happens with Love, it's like that simply cannot be the worst first round pick of that draft.
Yeah, it would. That's a good way to look at it too. Like the Dayton Jones draft too is a similar one too, where it's like that whole draft, there wasn't really anyone else. Like the next best person we could have taken with that pick was Eddie Lacy, who we took anyways.
Yeah.
Shit like that. But hate the Vikings. God, I'm trying to think what else we can even talk about them. I just hate them so much. Mm-hmm. Don't like the fans. Well, it's cold. We'll be outside. Hank?
Yeah, I was just, you know, do we knock them out of the playoffs?
If we win. Yeah, if they lose, they're donezo. Yep.
They're pretty close.
There is a small chance that they have. They obviously need to win out, and I think Philly needs to lose once. I think that's it, okay. Actually.
So imagine this. Like, we pound them.
I like
they
where this
lose.
Is going.
Zimmer gets fired.
Yes.
You know, and then, like, we get to brag to them for the next year.
Yeah,
please.
That would be
yes.
Like
very
like
nice.
You didn't only lose, but we got your coach fired.
Oh, yeah, well, they
love
might
love that.
I would love that, but they might thank us for that. But at that point, God, I wonder if they would just hold on to him for the one last week. But the interview is already starting. Urban Meyer obviously getting canned in Jacksonville, and Nathaniel Hackett getting that interview for a head coaching job. That would be. It would be very strange to get fired the way he was and then come back to be head coach.
Because, like Nagler said, like he was kind of the scapegoat
for
that. So for him to go back. And then did you see Dan Quinn? He's the Cowboys D coordinator.
Yeah, I saw
the
he
former
declined
coach.
It.
He was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good on that interview.
It's very weird. Oh, I'm just going to focus on the defense. He's probably like, okay, I don't want all that noise.
Someone had a good take where it's like Dan Quinn probably realizes, though, that he's probably not going to get a third shot as a head coach. So why waste your second shot on trying to rebuild that dumpster fire, especially when they're keeping the same GM? This is a bad tangent. This is a Packers podcast.
I like this.
Okay. But yeah, I definitely agree with Dan Quinn to just be like, nah, I'm going to wait for a better situation.
And I thought about it too, because it does remind me, and my brain kind of turned to mush with the whole Mike McCarthy thing, especially towards the end where we kind of realized, you know, how old his scheme was and how, you know, you had to start scheming stuff, getting people open instead of just having your receivers run routes to get open, whatever. Because I was really high on Joe Philbin when he got hired to be the Dolphins head coach. And nothing, I mean, there's no better mirror of Philbin leaving to go to Miami than Hackett going to the Jaguars. It's like they're pretty much the same freaking franchises and offensive minds. But I think Hackett is an actual offensive guru. Philbin, he was like the Harvard offensive line coach, and that's how he moved up in the ranks through the
league.
And
I think, because Hackett is still pretty young, and I think Philbin maybe
even though he's bald,
the game just kind of passed him by.
Yeah, I think so too. But yeah, Minnesota Vikings. We talked about that quite a bit. Kyle, what is your score prediction for this game?
I actually want to pass this to Hank on general thoughts of Vikings week. I sense some a hungry Hank, hungry for revenge and redemption, Hank, and I just want you to explore those feelings.
Yeah, I think I've been thinking about last time with like my kind of like, I don't know, trying to convince myself that the Vikings weren't that bad. Like Vikings fans, I remember that was probably the worst take I've ever had on the show. And then going to that game and just it was just miserable. It was miserable. I don't think I'll ever step foot in that bird killing stadium again. It's just I don't know. It's
you can't support it.
And the worst part is like I haven't unsubscribed from like the Vikings emails I keep getting sent.
Can you pull out your phone and just do that right now for us, please?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's making me angry every time I see it. I like remember the pain and the anger that I felt that day. And so like, I don't know. I will just say that like my you want me to do my score prediction?
Yes, please do it.
45-3
Woo!
We're gonna win.
I love it.
I don't, you know,
God, I love it.
When we started the podcast, I was like, I was hoping we could be, you know, a little more grounded, but that is
because I mean, we've been talking long enough, and the players themselves is talking long enough about putting teams away, and maybe this is the time, because this is one of their three losses that they actually get to redeem this year. So maybe this is the time where they pound it.
I think Rodgers, I think a lot of the team is probably pretty pissed off about that game still. I think we're gonna hammer him. And I think like the only like I mean I'm a little like Thielen seems to be the receiver that like kind of always gets us, right? I know like Jefferson had a really good game against us that day. Yeah. But like Thielen's like out, like I mean Thielen was like the only receiver last year who really gave Jair trouble at times was Thielen.
He's an absolute demon in the red zone too against the Packers.
Yeah, and I feel like Delvin doesn't seem as scary as he seemed in the past. I just feel like we're gonna be mean. I feel like Kenny Clark is gonna absolutely destroy Kirk.
Yes.
I'm getting like vibes when we went into US Bank Stadium and Z had that like 3.5 sack game.
Yes.
Okay.
Except it's going to be, it might be Kenny.
Yes.
Ooh, I would enjoy
and that's
that.
Not my bold prediction. That's just.
Love it, Hank. Love it.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. And, you know, I thought about it more. Maybe don't unsubscribe yet. Wait until after the game because you need that hate to fuel you. It is Vikings week, so you can't forget about them after we shit all over.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, yeah, I as bad as I want to predict the shit pumping, again, this is their SBV2 for them.
Yep.
So I think they'll play it close, and with the way that run defense looked against the Browns, I think Cook will be able to get going, probably score a couple times. So I'm thinking the final is going to be 31-21 good guys.
31-21 good guys. Damn. Yeah, I was thinking a very similar score. God. I'm going to go, I was going to say 20 for the Vikings. I'm going to go 34-20.
Love it.
Green Bay Packers. Yes. You're just, especially thinking back to last week, did the game look weird to you guys? For me, maybe it's just because I was in California. I was like, this is weird.
The Packers-Browns game?
Yeah, because it was like 2 hours earlier, too. So kickoff was at like 1 o'clock and like on Sunday.
Oh, no, it was pretty much dark where we were. So it felt normal. I mean.
Okay, I got weird vibes from the game overall.
I think, being in Cali just probably threw your internal clock off.
Too many In-N-Out burgers. But I'm just imagining... I'm getting Kirk Cousins' body, throwing him in what I saw last week with Baker, and it's just but colder, I just don't see anything good really coming from that game for the Vikings. Maybe, you know, Dalvin Cook's the one thing, but I guess it's nice. This is obviously a big game. We really need to win these last two to get home field. So the Cowboys, which I'm waiting for them to fall apart, but one last test of a really good running back.
Yep.
We, you know, that is going to be the story within that team right now, too. I'm sure that's all they're talking about in the defensive room, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, that's what I have for a score prediction.
34-20. Love it. What's your BP?
We'll just circle back then. I don't want to go back to Kenny Clark again. God, Josiah, you know what? I'm going to go with Tyler Davis getting his first.
Oh, well, he's on the COVID list.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right. Well, he could come off.
I think,
he could off. Probably, he got on it yesterday. It's only 5 days.
It'd be like a bold prediction squared.
Yeah. God, we didn't even talk about the COVID list, but I am.
Oh, yeah. So should we just run through that quick? It's
so long.
Yeah. It's like 50. But the big names are Big Dog, which that's going to fucking suck to miss him. Tyler
Plus,
Davis.
He's old, so it's probably going to hurt him a little bit more. Is that a bad joke to make? Yeah. I'm sorry.
All out.
Okay. I'm sorry. I hope I don't offend anyone with that. But yes, Big Dog's on the COVID list. Tyler Davis, the backup tight end. Henry Black, I believe, got thrown on.
Ty Summers.
Oh, yeah. A huge loss there. Amari Rodgers.
Merry Christmas.
It's... I kind of wish we were playing the Lions this week or something, because this is bad, but I do hope COVID kind of runs through the team now.
And not especially later. If they get that bye, too, that'll be even bigger. Because there was some...
Devondre had the right idea, getting it during the bye week. Yeah.
Schneidman had a good tweet where it's like the important dates. It's like Rodgers isn't eligible for testing until after the conference championship.
Yep.
Kenny is now not eligible until... Actually, I think Kenny... I think he's...
Kenny would be fine.
He actually doesn't test at all. Devontae, I think it's after the divisional round is when he's eligible again. Bakhtiari
hasn't had it. That's the thing, what I was going to mention. I was going to ask you before.
Which is super important if you think about it. Like not having to worry about Rodgers popping up or Devontae popping up until, you know what, and Kenny being completely safe. That's awesome.
The thing that I'm thinking of, and it's dumb, but I'm thinking of it, the two position groups who haven't been hit yet, knock on wood, is the offensive line and the secondary. You know, because Devontae, like you said, Devontae's
had it.
Kevin
King is on it right now.
Kevin King's on it right now, but he's, you know, he's kind of whatever. But the offensive line, like no one. Or really
the outside backers, I think, now that like Gary Preston.
You're right on that too. So that's kind of, it's a stupid thing I'm thinking about too.
It's not stupid at all. Like it's a very like legitimate concern at this point.
It's something where last year, a big narrative, you know, at the end of the year, because David Bakhtiari went down after tearing his ACL on New Year's. Oh, we're prepared. You know, we look fine against the Rams. And then the NFC Champ game, you know, God, what was his name now? No, I can't think of it. But Billy Turner and the Badger.
Valdir.
No, it wasn't even Valdir, but he got COVID the week before, remember?
What the hell is... It was the tackle, right?
Yeah, but anyways, we...
Didn't know. Who the hell was it? Are you sure it wasn't Valdir?
Yeah, God, I know his name too. And it's not Mark Tauscher.
Frank Winters?
No, God. Anyways, we'll find it. But the big thing is offensive line was great until the very end of the year last year.
The bullshit that happened, I think you could probably pinpoint the tackles being the biggest reason for the L.
But that thought has now creeped up where it's like, what if the offensive line gets COVID like the week of the NFC Championship game? Because that would kind of align with what happened.
But, I mean, it does help that now the whole protocol of 10 days now to 5, I think that could end up being a huge, huge help.
Yeah, it's very strange how that's changed recently, too. And now, well, like, the symptoms, like, after you test, you can just... Yeah, but it's player reported. Like it's so they'd be telling on themselves at this point, but whatever. But yeah, Kyle, that is my... Well, I guess that wasn't even my...
What was your
bold
prediction?
Yeah. I was going to say Tyler Davis, but he's on the COVID list, and that's how we got into all of this. You know what? God, Kirk Cousins. You know what? This seems like one of those games. You know, it pops up every year. He's usually a very steady player, and then when it happens, it happens. I have Adrian Amos getting a pick and forcing a fumble in this game.
Ooh.
You know, when it rains, it pours with him.
Forcing a fumble, yeah, it
does. Kirk Cousins in the cold. Amos is the steady guy who would do it. That is my bold prediction.
Love it. Love it. I'll go next.
Perfect.
All right, you went defense. I'll go, man, this is tough. So all the tight ends are out. They're probably going to be running a lot of... I'm just going to say it. I know he only played 14% of the snaps, but I love his look. I love the 8-8, so I'm going to go Winfrey with his first career touchdown.
Ooh, very good. I like that, Kyle. Hank, what is your bold prediction?
3 touchdowns, AJ Dillon.
Wow, that's nice. Shocking.
Back on my bullshit.
Yeah.
You're going to like keep doing that, and then it will happen like in the playoffs, and you're going to get it correct.
And it's going to be awesome, and we're going to buy you 24 beers.
Yeah.
I'm perfect.
Kyle, you know what? How about you? What, you want to try to do what I usually do to send out the...
No, you're so good at it.
God, great cover there. Yep, so that's it. Everyone's favorite part of the podcast. If you could please leave a 5-star review, that would be cool. Once again, God, I forgot to email Sam, I think, emailed us. But yeah, he left a Spotify review. Thank you very much.
Oh, all right.
You can leave Spotify reviews.
Yeah, you obviously didn't listen last week. Yes, you can now leave reviews on Spotify, so if you want, that would be really cool. Just go up there.
We made a promise that we would read reviews.
Yeah, we will read reviews. Sorry, we didn't get a review. I got a rating, and I'm not sure if you can leave reviews per se yet.
Oh.
But
I thought that's what you said, but okay.
I'm sorry. But yeah, leave a review. Email us at pmppodcast@gmail.com or tweet us at pmppod on Twitter. DM us, whatever. Send us your address, and then we will... send you a free koozie. Hank, you might have to talk about your days of Hankmas here. Just get that off your chest real quick.
Oh, they'll be sent out.
Well, we're past Christmas at this point, so we just want to give people a heads up.
It's all right. I mean, the holidays are, they're a season, not busy. A day.
And a job transition and everything. It's pretty hectic.
Yeah, so, I mean... think what is it, even Christmas has 12 days.
Mm-hmm.
True. So it might be
eight maids of milking.
A Hank New mm-hmm. Year or something along those lines. Rick Wagner, finally. Okay, it was Rick Wagner was the tackle who started in
that. I would have never got that.
I knew that. Yeah, he was a Badger. He was so bad after that game he decided to retire. But yes, God. That's it. That's all I have. Hank, do you have, according to Hank this week, do you have anything?
You know, I don't.
Okay.
I know I'm disappointing off the bye week. But I feel like if I'd be throwing to something, they'd be slapping something together.
Fair. And you would never do that.
Yeah. Never. I've never done that ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always prepared.
Perfect. Well,
except right now.
Yeah. Well, Kyle, do you have anything else?
Control what you can control. Win out, and the road goes through Lambeau.
Ooh, I do have one thing.
Okay. Okay.
So if we do win out, my season prediction was 15-2.
Okay.
When we original prediction, and if we do win out and we're 14-3, I think that it's like having the Jordan Love game in there.
Ooh.
I'm just going to say that, I feel like, you know.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. Besides, maybe the Cardinals will do us a favor and turn to a football team again and then
beat the Cowboys.
And
yeah.
We get another Jordan Love game. Yeah, that's a very good point. You were predicting for Aaron Rodgers, not Jordan Love. So
that's all I wanted to say.
You had it. Okay. It's perfect.
Fair. Yeah.
All right. Kyle, you don't have anything else?
I do not.
Hank, do you have anything else?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, with that, Eric Koskinen, please don't sue us.
Go, Pack, go. Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah, cause it just won't pay. I worked all year. I worked all month. Then they took my money away. Yeah, well, now I don't care. Cause they ain't working like me down here. I said, hey now, little baby, I'm going deeper down in debt. Yeah, honey, I ain't leaving here. I got a six-pack of beer and a pack of cigarettes. Yeah. You can take the job or shove it.